Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. As Linda pointed out, the gospel text is very familiar about Jesus meeting the disciples after his resurrection. And because it's so familiar, sometimes it's a challenge to find something new. So I started researching, and I found an interesting comparison between Judas and Peter. And I've heard this before, that if Judas had not killed himself, he would have found redemption and forgiveness, and I do believe that. But one commentator went so far as to say, the difference between Peter and Judas was not the deed, but it was the fact that Peter had the courage to face his disappointments and his the things that he did wrong. And I don't believe that for a minute. I think that's hogwash, because Judas was not like Peter. Judas did something despicable. He planned it out. He planned to betray him. Peter, on the other hand, did something that was just pathetic. Sometimes I'd rather be despicable than pathetic. But I can relate to Peter because I've done a lot of pathetic things in my lifetime, as have, I guess, some of you. He was pathetic. He had planned to be with Jesus to the end. He had very good intentions. By the way, I also don't believe that old saw that the way to hell is paved with good intentions. We all have good intentions. And he had the very best. He was going to stick it out with Jesus to the end. And it wasn't just lip service. He really, truly believed that. And then came that awful scene at the courtyard, when Jesus is taken off, he's arrested, he's brought before the high priests, and he's escorted by soldiers. And Peter at least went to the courtyard to see what was going to happen. All the other disciples went and hid. So he did have some bravery, and he gets there, and someone recognizes him and points the finger and said, "You look very familiar." And in an act of absolute terror, he said, "No, I'm not. No, you've got to be mistaken." How many of us would have stood up and said, "Oh, yes, I was with him"? I don't think I would have. I would have probably slinked out the crowd and gone away. There's a primitive instinct. It's called survival. And Peter wanted to survive very badly. So he said, "I don't know him." And he said it three times. Each time they came back and said, no, you really, your accent betrays you. "Oh, no, it wasn't me, you're thinking of somebody else." It was pathetic. And it was so human. And how many of us have betrayed someone, not because we intended to, but because we were frightened, or we did something dumb, and we hurt the person we love the most. And that's what happened with Peter. And saying "I'm sorry" just rings hollow, doesn't it? I'm sure he was absolutely delighted and relieved when he saw Jesus alive. But what was he going to do? Take him aside and say, "Yeah, I had a momentary lapse. I'm really sorry." That just doesn't cut it, does it? And interestingly, Jesus did not ask for an apology. Most of us would have. "You know, when you said that, I overheard you and I saw you, and that was really rotten of you." Jesus didn't do anything like that. So what do you do when you've disappointed the people you love? Well, what Peter did was he went back to doing something that he knew he had success in. He knew that it was something that would give him some measure of peace. So he said, "You know what, folks, I'm going back fishing." So he went fishing, and this was not a recreational thing for Peter. This is what he did before he had met Jesus. He always went fishing, and that was his business. And so the other disciples said, okay, yeah, Jesus, and didn't know how to face him. So they all went out fishing, and it must have been awful to know that you're in an occupation that you're good at, and you have no success. So they fished all night, and then they hear this voice from the shore saying, you know, if you throw your net another way, you'll find the fish. And they find the fish and they come in, and then Jesus has a talk with Peter. And I think it's a talk that the gospel writer allowed us to overhear so we can learn from it. He asks him three times, do you love me? And he doesn't just want an affirmation, yeah, I love you. He wants him to do something. And it's something that we all can do. Sometimes we cannot go back to the past and undo the things that we wish we had done differently. But we can do something in the future. And that's what Jesus told Peter to do. He said, feed my sheep, tend my lambs, feed my sheep, take care of people, is what he was talking about. And it's interesting that from that time forward, Peter never fished again. He took care of the sheep. And so we have the challenge today to take care of God's sheep. And I'll give you three examples of God's sheep here in Door County that we can take care of. The first set are the people who have lived here all their lives, have worked very hard, have been in our midst for many years, but now are prisoners, not in jail cells, but prisoners of their own bodies. And they sit where they would love to be sitting here, but they sit in nursing homes or in their homes because they can no longer get out among the people of God. And Jesus says, take care of my sheep. Take care of the people who can no longer be here, who can no longer enjoy what we enjoy. Take care of those sheep. The last time I visited Ted Heppner, which was this past week, when he saw me, he put out his arms to hug me. He was so thrilled. Feed my sheep. This is not just the job of the pastor. And if you don't know who the shut-ins are, ask me or ask Diane, and we'll give you addresses. They would love to have letters and cards and phone calls. Feed my sheep. The second sheep are who I call the lost sheep. The people who, for one reason or another, have given up on God, have given up on their faith, and are just heartsick. And they might never walk into the doors of this church, but they still need Jesus. And they still need our compassion, probably more so than people who come week after week. When you see them on the street, feed them. Feed them with compassion and with kindness. Always demonstrate the love and the grace of God. And the third group are the sheep who will come here that we will probably not know their names, and they're coming to Door County soon for vacation. I have to tell you that when I lived in the city, I used to come to pretty places once a year for vacation. And it would take me 2 or 3 days to let the city craziness roll off me. The first couple of days I was wound up and didn't even know it. If you've ever gone to the city, you notice that the pace quickens really quickly. And if you're walking in the city, if you don't keep up, you could be trampled. Everything is high-paced and high-powered and high-tension, and you don't even realize that when you're in the middle of it until you come to a place like this, and it takes a little while. And I know that sometimes shopkeepers will say, you know, the tourists can be really rude. They're not rude. Well, some might be. But they need that time of refreshing. And we have such an opportunity here, because they'll walk into this church. In fact, on Easter Sunday, somebody said, I just passed by and happened to walk in. And when they left, they said, thank you for the best Easter we've ever had. We have such an opportunity here to feed the sheep, people we don't even know. we might never see again and we can affect for eternity. There are many things in life I regret, that I wish I could go back and fix, things I've said that I wish I could unsay, people I've disappointed. I can't do anything about that, just like Peter could not really atone for the denial. What I can do is do what Jesus asked and take care of the sheep that Christ puts in my path each and every day. And I hope that's the same for you. He gives us a challenge. Don't look back in guilt. Look forward. Lord, what can I do? Lord, I thank you that you give us freedom from guilt, that you trust us to feed your sheep in whatever condition we find them. And so, Lord, help us to be a people who continually look forward, who continually feed and nurture the people that you have given to us, whether people that we know for a long time or people we have just met. Help us, Lord, to be your hands extended to each and every person we meet, blessing them and giving them the food, the bread of heaven. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you turn with me to the Lord?